I've affectionately been known, and my middle name is Tuttle. Anyway, and so I've enjoyed it very, very much. One of the first people I got to meet at Batesville, and you're looking at somebody that's only worked with four congregations since I graduated from Freedom Hardeman back many years ago now. And one of those congregations is Batesville, and for 35 years I've worked there in Batesville, all those years of time. And enjoyed coming here for gospel meetings and singings on Sunday afternoons that occurred in this building as well. And we had a great time with it and a great time with all of y'all. Good to be with you today, and thank you for allowing Stephen to be away from here, as well as at the same time allowing me to be here. What's our greatest enemy? What is our greatest problem in life? When I determined to preach the gospel and everything, Brother Paul Sparks was directing me and mentoring me in how to preach and what to do. He made a statement one day. He said, "Robert, always base your sermons on needs of people. If you know what their needs are," he said, "address those particular needs as you preach lessons to them. And you'll always have fresh material, and you'll always have a subject that is interesting to people if they agree, if they disagree." And so I've tried to do that through the years. As a result of that, not knowing our particular needs, there are general needs that God felt like that we had all over the place. There are 66 books in our Bible. God thought we needed all of those 66. 39 of those in the Old Testament tell us a lot of things about that are fulfilled in the New Testament, 27 books of the New Testament. We find ourselves benefiting from what God has said toward us. And of course, there are a lot of things by way of life and 58 years of trying to preach the gospel, as the late Brother J.A. Thornton used to say in his life. You know, Brother Thornton was a wonderful, wonderful person. He preached in Boonville for many, many years of time, and then left there, went over to New Albany, preached for 16 years or so there at New Albany, and then went back to Boonville to do an added-on ministry for the senior citizens of that congregation there. But he said that when he began to preach, he went out to a rural congregation, and he was there preaching. And he said, "I preached a sermon one Sunday morning that nobody ever would have benefited from." He said, "I just had the middle in the beginning, and the middle at the end, and at the beginning at the end, and the end at the beginning." And he said, "It was a mismatch of things." He said, "I hated to," but he said, "it was customary to take my place at the door and shake people's hands as they exited the service." He said, "Everybody said the normal things as they came by. Good sermon, good ways, good thing. Enjoy seeing you. Good to have you here today." So forth, so on. He said, "Till this little woman came out. She was a head and shoulders shorter than he. And she reached up and grabbed him by the neck and pulled him over to whisper in his ear. And she said to him, 'Brother Thornton, I got something really good out of that sermon today.'" And then he'd quickly say to the audience of people, "To this good day in my life, I don't know what good she got out of that sermon." But he said, "I know what she gave me in that. She gave me encouraging words to try again." And so it is in your life and mine. We need to be people who are encouragers of others. We're taught in the Bible to be examples of the believer. That word example of tupas, it means to, as the form of metal was struck so that the coin had its value attached to it in the days of the Roman Empire. That tupas was the value of that. So it is that Paul directs Timothy in that in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Be an example, be a tupas to the believer. In words that you say, in your manner of life, your conversation, in your manner of life. In the charity, the love that you have in your heart and way of life for others and for other things. Be godly in your ways. In your spirit, in the way that you enthusiastically go about your daily walk of life, in being an encouragement to others. Nobody wants to follow someone who is not enthusiastic about what they're doing in life. And in your faith, in the way that you believe, Be sure that that's what the Word of God teaches. Be sure that's what the Lord has said. Be sure you want to emphasize that this is important to the Lord, that we practice our Christian walk this way, that you preach and that you teach to others. And finally, he said, in purity. Be an example to the believer in purity. In your way of life, in your purity of thoughts and mannerisms, be pure in your practice of life. Don't be cheating on a wife or a husband. Don't be cheating in life on things that are right and good. Be honest and be dependable. Be pure in your thoughts and in your mannerisms of life. If Paul thought that Timothy needed that, I would suggest that you and I might need that same message today. Be an example to the believer. Be an encouraging example to the believer in particular, because that encouragement is lacking in our day and time. The thought of encouraging people to do what's right, encouraging the worship of the Lord, encouraging people to serve the Lord, encouraging people to be a service in a community. We went out to a congregation and doing our work and activities, and I direct the training school for better service, and we've got 500 or more preachers out in the countryside, and I've got 2,500 more teachers and personal workers and all like that out of our school program. And I don't know honestly how many students we have right now, because we've gone the way of the internet system. And they tell us from Florida that we have between 3,000 and 5,000 every month that come to our training site and read there and stay there for several minutes of time. And that tells them that they're studying those particular matters. I know some people down in Belize in Central America that they started their walk on Friday going to a building which has an internet system there. And they go to Training School for Better Service site. And they read there the teachings and the information that is given there, and they discuss it in their Bible school program right there in Belize this morning. I know that they're serious about what they're trying to do. They started their walk to that building on Friday. They walked all day yesterday, and they arrived there, spent a night or two, and they found themselves at that place to listen and then to discuss what they read and what they see. Encouragement of people. Would that encourage us to be a little more of a student of reading God's Word? Would that encourage us to be a little more of a student in understanding His will? Encouraging people to study and encouraging people to be servants of the Lord. It's a wonderful blessing when we have that in our daily walk of life. Encouragement. And I hope these words have encouraged you. If you don't practice that way of life, of reading the Scripture and interpreting the Scripture and viewing the ideas of the Word of God that way to guide your way of life, I hope that this has been a word of encouragement to you in that way. You can be a word of encouragement to others as you go forth in life, as you serve them. There are in the communities we went to, and they were wondering what they could do to really advance the cause of the Lord in their community. It was a rural community. It was way out from town, and from towns they didn't have the opportunity to live there, but they had a number of members of that congregation, around 40 or so, that were there. We worked with them and asked a question in regard to what they could do. Were there any there who were former teachers? There were three or four of them that were former teachers. Were there any of them that particularly had some teaching work that they could help children that were got off the school bus in that community to advertise to them that they would be there on Tuesdays or Thursdays, for example? In the afternoons, they would be there at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the evening time. And they would invite them to come in and to mentor them into better understanding of science, or English, or history, or math in that community. They were people who would do that. And as a result, it made a real world of difference with encouragement to those children in that community, encouraging a community to know who they were, that they were more than just meeting in a building on Sunday and going home. And as a result, the church began to grow. The church began to have more membership. The church began to have more people involved in that because they could serve in those capacities. Are there some things that you can do to serve a cause? Serve the Lord's way. If it is, you will do something encouragement to people when you offer an opportunity to serve them in that way. So we encourage folks to be people who really do the will of the Lord. And we encourage people to be evangelistic in their way. And we encourage people to be service people oriented. What else can we do to encourage people in life? I want to suggest that we can encourage people when they're down and out. Illness and sickness doesn't always result in death. Sometimes death comes about in such a surprising way. And as a result, people are themselves down and sad because of the loss of that loved one in a shocking and horrible way. What's needed in that person's life? Someone to understand, someone to care, someone to pray for with that person, someone to talk with that individual, someone who has a word of encouragement that is given. Sometimes not a word at all. But sometimes just a hug. Sometimes just seeing that person and encouraging them by way of a hug. Just there to be with them and to be around them during a time of sadness and sorrow. We all find ourselves in times of illness and sicknesses. Not long ago, I had a pain that I didn't know where it originated. I didn't remember picking up something that heavy and that particular laborious, but anyway, my left knee was just absolutely horrible in its pain. Well, I worked around with it, you know, anointed it with a little bit of salve here, there, and yonder, and what I could do, and it got worse. It got worse. It was terrible. My wife persuaded me we ought to go up to Campbell's Clinic, let those x-ray that, and see if there was something in there besides what I thought it was. And so we did that. We called them up, and they said that they could make arrangements for us to be there, and we could do a walk-in basis, and so we did. My wife had put my foot into the car. I could not lift it up without mortal pain. She had to put my foot in the car. I drove on up there. She had to take my foot out of the car. I couldn't do it. And as a result, finally got in there. And the doctor came in, and he was looking at this and that, and he decided he'd just raise up my heel of my foot. Shouldn't have done that. I almost showed in my karate practice because I raised back to, and I caught myself, and I said, I'm not in that position now. He said, oh, no. He said, man, you have a lot of anger in this particular knee. And his judgment was that I had there some tendonitis. And that tendonitis, he felt like he could remedy by way of some steroids that he would give me. And he began to do that. And before I left there, he had some in my system, and it hadn't helped a whole lot. They sent me over to another department that said that the young man there said, I will put this particular brace on your knee so that it won't give you movement. It'll be straight line. And he said, I'll put this brace on it. He was mistaken. He wasn't able to put that brace on me. He wasn't able to do anything with that knee because it was of such mortal pain that he just said, whoa, when you get better, maybe you can put this on. I said, when I get better, I won't need to put this on. And I didn't need to put that on. But I did get better over that 5-day, 6-day period of time of taking the steroids in a certain order, which they did. There was comfort that was exhibited to my knee. I had felt it now several months of time. I don't know what it brought about, but I'm glad that it is gone. I'm glad that it is gone. When you find yourself trying to be of help to individuals and know what they do, and know what they need, it makes a world of difference than when you don't know exactly what you're doing. There are folks out here on the highway sometimes that are stranded. And they're in the process of being there by a flat tire. And as a result, you need to jack the car up. But before you do that, remember that other tires inflated roll, and they may roll on. As a result, blocking a tire and then jacking it up and then taking the lug bolts off and then putting an inflated tire on to replace that deflated one is a better way of doing things. When you know what you're doing in that regard, you can be safer and encourage the safety of it, and they'll never, ever forget it. Now, of course, they'll never forget the other side of it, that the car rolled off and rolled into the ditch, and you had more trouble than you ever did with a flat tire. But they'll remember that, too. But they won't remember it for the idea that you have in mind, and that is that you help them in that situation. When you and I can offer a helping hand to someone, we offer a service to them that can make a world of difference. What about in your life of serving the cause of Jesus? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, beginning verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Lord did not call us to Him to do nothing. He called us to bear His yoke and His burden, which are light in comparison to what we would have with sin's burden and sin's ways of life. We need to be people who follow the Lord. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden." Very likely, when we answer that call, we've already tried it another way. We've already seen that that is a heavy laden way of going. And we need a relief from that way. We need a solace from that way. We need some salvation from that way. And we need that hope of the Lord. He tries to encourage us by way of His Word. And as we follow His Word and find ourselves believing in Him and repenting of our sins and confessing faith in Him and being baptized into Christ, we find ourselves in a walk that is a wonderful walk of life. Because He's encouraged us to follow His way. He's encouraged us to be all that we can be in His service. And as a result of that, we find ourselves encouraged by the Master Himself. "Come unto me, all ye that labored heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We find the rest that the Lord has offered to us. His yoke is easy, His burden is light, and His yoke is easy. And it is the case that we find ourselves not laden by sin any longer, but we are finding ourselves yoked up with the Lord that leads us to righteousness and compassion and faith and hope. It leads us to what Paul addressed to Timothy to encourage people there in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Be an encouragement. Be a person who is a servant of others. As he says there, be an example to the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Be that kind of person. Purity. I need to close out today with a particular problem that is a problem that people need. We don't need to get into situations where we find ourselves in what we call, what's referred to, as secret sin. We need to be encouraged to know that God wants us to live a pure walk of life. We find ourselves getting into temptations and trials with somebody who wants us to gamble with them, wants us to get into other sins with them. We find ourselves going awry from what is pure in our thoughts and pure in our way of life. You know, the old songwriter, when he talked about pure in heart, O God, help me to be, that I may someday see. And then he says this in that line of pure in heart. Keep me from secret sin. Reign thou my soul within. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. If we find ourselves always cussing at and fussing at the animals on the place, it won't be long before we'll find ourselves cussing at and fussing at some situation that occurs with other members of the family in that particular household. We do not need to practice that which is referred to as secret sin. We do not need to come close to secret sin. When we wake up in the morning, we go for all the morning long until we get to a time of brunch or a time of lunch. We find ourselves never thinking about a prayer to God. I like the old statements made by the one who led the prayer in the congregation when he said, Lord, thank you for raising us up this morning in our right mind. There's something about being awake. Did you make yourself awake? No more than you made yourself go to sleep. You find yourself in secret sin when you find yourself not recognizing God as early as you can in a day. You find yourself in secret sin when you get into something that someone offers you that's not serving the cause of God. You know they're not serving the cause of God. That which they're offering you does not serve the cause of the Lord. In that way, you find yourself in secret sin. Secret sin grows. It is described in 1 Corinthians 5 of the man who was living with his father's wife as a little leaven that leaveneth the whole lump. It's a little leaven. It's a secret sin to begin with. It's quietly done. Paul said this kind of conduct is not done among the Gentile world in which you live. This kind of conduct is not right. This kind of conduct deserves to be not fellowship by the local church there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we read where this man, along with others there that he encouraged to repent, had in fact repented. They had turned away from that way of life. They were sorrowful about that way of life. They had asked the church and the Lord to forgive them for that way of life. Where would that have been without the encouragement of the church saying, don't do that? Without the church saying, fellowship is not going to be honored with you in practicing this way of life. Where would he have been? Well, he wouldn't have been repenting. He wouldn't have been a new way of life. He wouldn't have been forgiven. And he would have ended up in death at the Lord's left hand. Encouraging people to live in such a way that we're pure in our thoughts and our mannerisms. There are some movies we go to, we have no idea that scene is going to be there. No idea those words are going to be said in that. We need to hold our fingers in our ears. We need to turn our face away. We need to sometimes say to ourselves, there's more of this in this movie than I thought there was going to ever be, and I need to exit. Why do I need to do that? Because I want to be pure. I want to encourage others to be pure in heart. This song that's been announced today is an invitation song. It will encourage us toward the work of the Lord. It encourages us. You are doing evangelistic work. It will encourage us to be people who serve. It'll encourage us to be people who honor the ways of the Lord. It'll encourage us to be people who avoid secret sin in our lives. What do you say in regard to this idea? Well, in Acts chapter 8, we read where Simon said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things you have spoken may come upon me. What did Peter just do with his good brother? He had been baptized into Christ there in Samaria. He saw that when Peter and John came down for the Jerusalem and offered these other brethren these powers of the Holy Spirit, and he knew that he had moved to trick the people, and so he needed to have this power real. So he offered him money. And Peter immediately said, "Thy heart is not right to God. Thou art the cause of bitterness to bond." I don't know what that means. Now, he said, thou art a double dog there. I understood by what he said. Now, I grew up with that. But what is a call of bitterness? The call of bitterness and bond. But I know this. Simon knew what it was. And Simon didn't want to have any part of it. And he said, pray you the Lord for me that none of these things you've spoken may come upon me. He did the right thing. He returned to be encouraged to do the right thing for God. Let's do that today.
bow, one who in power is the prayer.